Greetings and shalom, shalom, salama, salam aleikum, shalom, and as we say in the boogie down, what's poppin', family? Thank y'all so much for tuning in to another segment of Malaka Adaya to the Remnant and family. Today, we are journeying through the book of Habakkuk. Did I say that right? Habakkuk. I mean, people say it different, but you guys can see it right here. H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K. That is Habakkuk. Hallelujah. And it's only three chapters. All right, family. So let's start right now in chapter one. You guys are getting it. You guys are getting the screen record of this book. And here's the funny thing. I'm trying to tap on chapter one. And okay, so did I just glitch? I think I just glitched. All right, y'all. Anyway, it's 17 verses in this chapter of the book of Habakkuk, chapter one. And there I go, Habakkuk. No, because I came from an old Christian church where, and it wasn't that old, but I came from a Christian church where the pastor, she just had this strange way of calling, of saying the name Habakkuk. So now I have issues with trying to pronounce it myself. Okay, but it in the Hebrew or in the ancient way of saying it, you see here at the bottom of the screen, if you can see it, it is Habakkuk, right? Habakkuk. So I've been saying it right all along. All right. Anyway, here we go, y'all. Starting in verse one. And this is the TS 2009 translation I'm reading from, all right? All right. The message which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Yahuwah, till when shall I cry and you not hear? I cry to you, violence, and you do not save. Why do you show me wickedness and cause me to see perversity? For ruin and violence are before me, and there is strife and contention arises. This sound familiar to y'all? This sounds like the kind of condition we're in right now. As always, we were going through some type of trial, some type of hardship. And 9 times out of 10, it was because of our inability to follow Torah. But let's see. I'm not really that familiar. The only part of this book of Habakkuk that I'm familiar with, I think it's somewhere in chapter 2, when they say, write the vision and make it plain so that the one proceeding can run with it. Other than that, I'm not really familiar with the book. So I'm really glad that the Ruach led me into reading it. Okay, so we're in verse 4. Therefore, the Torah ceases, and right ruling never goes forth. For the wrong him in the righteous, so that right ruling comes out twisted. For the wrong him in the righteous. So now think of that as like, you know, you hemming a pair of your trousers. I just say trousers. I'm getting old. A pair of your jeans, a pair of your pants. You're hemming it. You're sewing it up, right? Binding it up in a way, okay? So think about it now. If the bottom of your pants is kind of loose or stringy or whatever, and when you put that hem in it, you're binding it. So it says for the hem in the righteous, for the wrong him in the righteous, so that right ruling comes out twisted. Let's keep going. Now, y'all know I'm no teacher, nor am I trying to be. So we reading this together. Let's see what the Holy Spirit points out. Hallelujah. And guys, if I miss something, please feel free to let me know in the comment section what you got out of what you're listening to. Okay. All right, verse 5. Be active listeners, y'all. Verse 5 of Habakkuk chapter 1. Look among the nations and see and be amazed. Be amazed, for a work is being wrought in you in your days. Sorry, for a work is being wrought in your days, which you would not believe if it were told. See, I am raising up the Chasdim, a bitter and hasty nation, who is going through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Chasdim were colonizers, guys. Habakkuk 1:7. They are frightening and fearsome. Their right ruling and their exhortation proceed from themselves. Their horses shall be swifter than leopards, and more fierce than evening wolves. And their horsemen shall charge ahead, and their horsemen come from afar. They fly as the eagle rushing to eat. These Chasdim sound like the people from the north, right? Man. Verse 9. All of them come for violence. The direction of their faces is like the east wind, and they gather captives like sand. And they scoff at sovereigns and princes. They scoff at sovereigns. Hey, nigger. Get over here, nigger. Hey, boy. Don't the people of the north scoff at the royal priesthoods? If they are royal priests, if our brothers, our men, our fathers, our uncles, even our male cousins, if they are a royal priesthood, wouldn't they be seen as sovereigns? And they scoff at sovereigns, and princes are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every stronghold, for they pile up earth and seize it. Then shall he pass as a wind and transgress and be guilty, and ascribe this power to his mighty one. Are you not from everlasting, O Yahuwah, my Elohim, my set apart one? You do not die, O Yahuwah. You have appointed them for right ruling. O Rock, you have established them for reproof. What is reproof? Correction. He established them for reproof. You whose eyes are too clean to see evil, you are not able to look on wrong. Why do you look on those who act treacherously? Keep silent when the wrong devours one more righteous than he. And would you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping creatures that have no ruler over them? The wicked foe has pulled all of them up with a hook, caught them in his net, and gathers them in his dragnet. Therefore, he rejoices and exults. Therefore, he slaughters to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by them is his portion fat, and his food is rich. He is therefore to keep on emptying his net and killing nations without sparing. My. Let's go on. Habakkuk 2. You know what? Before I go on, though, I'm curious about a few things because I'm not going to sit here and make believe I know exactly who the people of Kazdim are. All right. So I did a little Google search. I wanted to know what was going on during the time of Habakkuk. All right. And it says here, though the exact date of the prophecies of Habakkuk is difficult to determine, it is likely that he prophesied a short time before the Babylonian invasion of Yehuda, which began in 605 BC. During this time, the Assyrian Empire was in decline, and the Babylonians were rising to replace them as the dominant power in the. Let's click on it. In the Near East. Okay, so for those of you that are viewing this on YouTube, you guys see the map here. We see Assyria right here. We see Nineveh. We see Asshur. We see Babylonia. Okay, so here's the map that they have provided here. Here's our spot. Right here, Yehuda, Yerushalayim, Yasharal. You guys see Egypt down there on the far left. Well, not that far, it's really right next to Yehuda. All right, but okay, so that was one thing that I wanted to check out. And then there was one more to show you. I wanted to know if the Kazdim, of Ur Kazdim had anything to do with Edom. But this is what I got. And the reason I wanted to check that is because I'm telling you, when they spoke about how fierce they were and how their horses were, I thought about how in the scriptures, the people of the north were described as well. But this is a different people here. Let's see. In 1927, Leonard Woolley identified Ur Kazdim with the Sumerian city of Ur in southern Mesopotamia, where the Chaldeans settled. Much later, around the 9th century BC, Ur lay on the boundary of the region later called Chaldu. Chaldea corresponding to Hebrew Kazdim in the first millennium. All right. Okay. So these are the people, the Kazdimites, Kazdimians. Anyway, let's get back to the chapter. And we are now in Chapter 2. Did I switch it over? Switching it over now. Okay, here we go. Habakkuk, Chapter 2. I stand at my watch and station myself on the watchtower and wait to see what he says to me and what to answer when I am reproved. And Yahuwah answered me and said, write the vision. See, this is the verse. That's the only verse I know about Habakkuk, right? It said, write the vision and inscribe it on tablets so that he who reads it runs. Now, when I read this, I think I was reading this in the NLT. It was like, write the vision. I wondered, did my pastor add that part in there? She was like, write the vision and make it plain. You know what? I want to see. I want to see because I know we used to read. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to do that. We used to read in the NLT a lot, and y'all know. Well, y'all may not know. I do not like this translation of the Bible. I really do not. There was something I was looking for a while back that's in every other. Bible, but it was not in here. I don't want to say the wrong verse, but I know it has something to do with the prophetic word that is normally in every other book, but it was not in this NLT, nor was it in the complete Jewish Bible. So for that, it lost me. I didn't want to read it anymore. But okay, so we're looking for verse 2. And it says, the Lord said to me, write my vision, answer plainly on tablets. Oh, see, so you see, I see where Pastor get it from, because she was an NLT girl. All right. Write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. That's how that's translated there. So I do believe that sometimes for emphasis sake, when they translated into other languages, they added words, they took words out, okay? But here, what does it say? And this translation, the TS 2009, is thought to be a very, very, I don't want to say exact because they don't even claim to be exact, but a very close translation to the original Hebrew text. Okay, so anyway, verse 2 of Habakkuk chapter 2 says in the TS 2009, and Yahuwah answered me and said, write the vision and inscribe it on tablets. So that he who reads it runs. It's like it's missing some stuff here though, right? That NLT over there gave it a little bit more meat, right? And this is why I'm telling y'all, this is why it's good to read more than one translation during a reading, because you'll get a fuller understanding, a fuller picture, you'll get more clarity, all right? But you know what I didn't do? And I should be ashamed. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to you, Most High Yahuwah Elohim, the one who spoke and said, let us make man in our image. And everything came into obedience to your will and to your word. Hallelujah. And we were created in your image and in the image of the likeness of others, in the Shamaim, according to what the scriptures tell us. You said, let us make them in our image. So Abba Yahuwah, we believe that even Adam and Eve were in the same image, like the heavenly host before they transgressed. It is to you I pray right now. In the name of Yahweh Shai HaMashiach, I ask you that you will give us clarity when we read. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Let us be able to distinguish or discern between what is true in these scriptures, what was added into these scriptures, and let us know if there was something taken away out of you as we read, trying to know you more, as we read, trying to cultivate a deeper, closer personal relationship with you, Father Yahuwah. Meet us in our time of reading, meet us in our time of study, meet the listener in this time of seeking your word. Hallelujah. Dwara Rabaya. Hallelujah. So be it. All right. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it lingers, wait for it, for it shall certainly come. It shall not delay. See, he whose being is not upright in him is puffed up, but the righteous one lives by his steadfastness. And also, because wine betrays him, a man is proud, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his appetite as Sheol, and he is like death, and is not satisfied, and gathers to himself all nations, and heaps up for himself all peoples. You know, tonight I was watching the Gates of Huldah, and it was, I believe, it's chapter 17 of The Secrets of America or The History of America. But it was speaking about the king. I believe he was the king in England. And he is the father of all of the U.S. presidents. And the reason I say father is because all of their DNA can be traced back to that one man. Every last U.S. president except for one, I believe. And then there's a lot. There was a lot of information there, but I don't know. It just popped into mind as I was reading this part right here about how, you know, he is not satisfied and gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. That just came into mind. And if you guys haven't heard of the Gates of Huldah yet, then you are hearing about it now. And I need y'all to go and subscribe to that channel. Oh my goodness, it's full of biblical truth and history. And the teacher, she teaches in love as a sister among many brothers and sisters who just wants to get the truth out. She's not trying to lord over anyone, tell people what to do, when to do it, how to do it. She's not portraying herself as being a mouthpiece of the Most High himself. She is a woman who is full of zeal, who loves teaching the word, and I enjoy listening to her. So again, her channel is Gates of Huldah on YouTube. All right, so anyway, let me keep going. Verse 6. Shall not all these lift up a proverb against him and a mocking riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his. Till when is he to load on himself many pledges? Do not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who make you tremble wake up, and you be plundered for them? That's happening right now. That's happening right now, y'all. That's why these people in power shaking in their boots. I believe they are. I believe the reckoning is upon them. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, their allies are turning against them, right? Their dollar is becoming futile, right? Hallelujah. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. Guys, I'll be right back. That's my sister calling. Okay, family, we are back. And that was my beautiful sister Joy out in France. So I had to take the call. Okay, let's get back to it. We are now in chapter 8 of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Because you have plundered many nations, chapter 8, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Now, this verse right here, just it kind of reminds me of the same when I read Obadiah talking about the judgment of those who oppressed the children of the Most High, Yahuwah. So it's just kind of like it just reminds me of that, puts me right in that same mindset. Verse 10, you have concealed shame. for your house, to cut off many peoples, and your being is sinning. For a stone from a wall cries out, and a beam from the timbers answers it. Woe to him who builds a town by blood and establishes a city by unrighteousness. Says a lot about this place we're living in now, don't it? I'm telling y'all, so I know that this was written thousands of years ago. But remember, we read somewhere that it was saying that it was prophesying about the end. Did I read that somewhere in the very beginning? I stand at my watch. We going back to verse 1. I stand at my watch and station myself on the watchtower and wait to see what he says to me and what to answer when I am reproved. And Yahuwah answered me and said, write the vision and inscribe it on tablets so that he who reads it runs. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. So this did not happen in the time of Habakkuk. Okay, it happened what? When at a future time. It's going to happen at a future time. And it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it lingers, wait for it, for it shall certainly come. It shall not delay. And there was something else that we read, remember? And it said that this was possibly the Babylonian captivity, all right, around the time of that, all right? And so understand this, though. As it was in the beginning, it shall be again in the end. There's nothing new under the sun. It goes on and on and on and on until the Most High says that's enough, all right? So I believe even though that this could be talking about the Babylonian captivity of Yahshuah, it's also speaking about what's going to happen to this place that still have the captives of Yahshuah and Yerushalayim, Yehuda. Okay, this is another Babylon. This is another Egypt. This is like literally like all of our captivities in one. In this place that we're in right now, all right? Anyway, see he whose being is not upright in him is puffed up, but the righteous one lives by his steadfastness, and also because wine betrays him, a man is proud, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his appetite as Sheol, and he is like death, and is not satisfied, and gathers to himself all nations, and heaps up for himself all peoples. Shall not all these lift up a proverb against him, and a mocking riddle against him, and say, woe to him who increases what is not his, till when is he to load on himself many pledges? Do not your creditors rise up against you? We in debt up to the wazoo. Well, and I'm, it ain't my debt. Actually, I have some things due and owed to me. Hallelujah. Yahshuah, we ain't in nobody's debt. Okay? They like to think so. They want us to pay the highest taxes and whoo-wee. Our day is coming, y'all. Let me not go off on a whole nother. Okay. Let me stay right here. Stay to the course. Verse 7. Do not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who make you tremble wake up and you be plunder for them? Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you because of men's blood and doing violence to the land, to the city, and to all who dwell in it. Woe to him who is getting evil gain for his house in order to set his nest on high, to escape the clutches of evil. You have counseled shame for your house, to cut off many peoples, and your being is sinning. For a stone from the wall cries out, and a beam from the timbers answer it. Woe to him who builds a town by blood and establishes a city by unrighteousness. My country, 'tis of thee. Oh, yeah. Woe to him who builds a town by blood and establishes a city by unrighteousness. See, it is not from Yahuwah of hosts that peoples labor only for fire, and nations weary themselves for naught. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the esteem of Yahuwah as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory. Okay, family. Let's keep going here. We're in verse. If you're, because there was a little breach in time, y'all. It was. And I have to be honest. I'm literally like I'm screen recording and y'all see the podcast running too. I'm just trying to take care of both things at one time, without having to get all extra and you know, add too many visuals, because you guys can just read along with me here. All right, so I'm picking back up in verse 14. I know I was like mid verse 15 in the screen recording, but y'all bear with me, all right? So again, verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the esteem of Yahuwah as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pouring out your wineskin and also making him drunk in order to look on their nakedness. You shall be filled with shame instead of esteem. Drink, you too, and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the right hand of Yahuwah shall come around you, and great shame upon your esteem. For the violence done to Lebanon is to overwhelm you, and the ravaging of beasts by which you made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence to the land, to the city, and of all who dwell in it. Of what use shall a carved image be? For its maker has carved it. This is how I be feeling when I used to go to the nail salons out here in the Bronx. And we have a lot of people of a certain nationality. And all you have is these little fat gold men all over on the floor, sitting in the corners with stuff all around them. Like they giving offerings to them. And there be little coins around these little fat golden men. And I just be like, man, oh man. Anyway. Verse 18, of what use shall a carved image be? For its maker has carved it, a molded image and teacher of falsehood. For the maker trusts what he has made to make dumb idols. Woe to him who says the word, awake, to silent stone, arise. Is it a teacher? See, it is overlaid with gold. So he's like, can you imagine, y'all? Seeing somebody going to a little statue or a rock or something. Rise, wake up and answer me. Y'all, and they used to be doing that. Oh my goodness. Is it a teacher? See, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no spirit at all inside it. But Yahuwah is in his set apart temple, his set apart hakal, here, if you're reading it with me and you see it, you see the word here in the TS 2009 is hekal. Another word for hekel is tabernacle. Another word for tabernacle is set apart assembly. Well, no, I'm sorry, not assembly, but a set apart sanctuary, tabernacle, even a temple. All right, that's the word for hekel. Let all the earth be silent before him. Again, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20 says, but Yahuwah is in his set apart hekel. Let all the earth be silent before him. Hallelujah. Tuara Rabbaya. All right. The final chapter of the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3.